1968 was when it actually occurred. A professor at Stanford came up with an experiment testing four-year-olds. And what they would do is they would put them in a room alone with one marshmallow. And then they would tell them that they could eat the marshmallow whenever they wanted, but if they waited until he came back, then he would give them another marshmallow. So they were all alone with that marshmallow, I think in the Stanford experiment, for 20 minutes if they waited. And so this is a reenactment of that test with some kids more recently. Kicker, as they grew up, they followed some of these kids and they found out that the kids who waited had fewer problems and greater achievements in all kinds of ways in their lives. They had fewer drug problems, they had fewer weight problems, they generally had better grades. They actually scored an average of 200 points higher on their SAT tests than the kids who were not able to wait. So now just hold on to that and we'll see how it ties into the story of Joseph that we'll be looking at today. In the clip, you know, the privilege would be the marshmallow and the pain would be the waiting. But what was it for Joseph? It turns out that often the things that cause us to question God's presence as we wait for them to finally come to fruition are the strongest evidence of his care. You remember Ruth from last week? She was the Moabite daughter-in-law of Naomi, who was in Jesus' genealogy. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, was not a glass half-full person. Look at what she said when they came back to Bethlehem. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. This was Naomi's hometown that they came back to from Moab. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" Maybe she just looked so sad and haggard. I don't know. But she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Now, Naomi means pleasant, and Mara means bitter. So call me Mara because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Now, here we are a few thousand years later, reading her words again and reflecting on the privilege that resulted from all of that pain, right? So no matter what we may be going through now, it may seem like God has abandoned us or is even afflicting us, as Naomi said, but the truth is that God is with us. Emmanuel means God with us. However, God's presence is not always felt. Let's think about the privilege of being known as Jesus' father and how that affected Joseph initially. Look at Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, he knew nothing at this moment about how Mary became pregnant. At the very least, he is feeling a sense of panic. Our culture has become so loose about couples living together without being married that we even sometimes will see a TV show or a movie scene. I've seen this when an unmarried woman gets pregnant and the mother and the presumed father are both thrilled. Well, I do believe that among normal people, as opposed to Hollywood people, that would actually still be a kind of a rare reaction to such news. I know it wouldn't have been good news to me when we were engaged, even if I felt sure that I was the father. Okay, so that was 49 years ago. Our daughter was born on our first wedding anniversary. But let's just say that Joseph was a modern man who wasn't concerned about the fact that they were not yet married. Well, let me get that. This is devastating news. Now, he doesn't have any idea who the father is, but he knows who it is not. It is not him. Now, I think Mary probably was the one who told him that she was pregnant, and she probably told him what the angel said, but it doesn't seem like he believed it. And so Joseph is apparently a man, though, with a lot of self-control. And so even before he knew how she really got pregnant, he looks for a way to avoid a life of deep shame for Mary. Their culture was not one that would eventually let her, you know, just live past something like that. So look at verse 19. And it's not working now. There we go. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So based on what Luke says, we're not looking at Luke this year, but based on what Luke says, he tried to do his research and writing about this incident, but it's clear that he tells it from Mary's perspective. She talks about what was in her heart. And so he either got it from someone who knew her perspective or he interviewed her in person. He tried to do that, at least. He said he used eyewitnesses or other reliable witnesses as much as possible. But who was Matthew's source? Joseph probably died while Jesus was still a young man, leaving Jesus as the head of his household. That's the most likely thing, because we don't see him during Jesus' ministry at all. After he's 12 years old, he's never seen again. But this story is clearly told as Joseph told it. It said he had in mind what he would do. And only Joseph knew what he had in mind. So maybe Jesus' brother James, you know, told Matthew what Joseph had told the family, you know, through the years. We don't know. But one of the reasons that we experience pain and disappointment is to test us. And even though Matthew gives us the comforting fact right away, Joseph really didn't get that necessarily right away. We don't know how long he had to struggle with that, but I know he had to struggle with the unknown for some time because he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And so he had to figure out what he thought would be the best thing to do. So we're already in on the secret, but look at what Joseph eventually found out. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. We'll see how he came to accept that in a minute. But we're in on the secret immediately almost. But Joseph was tested before he would know the truth that the child was through the Holy Spirit. So Joseph's character was tested. And so we have tests of character all the time as we live our lives. And I would suggest that there's a sort of a hierarchy of such tests that we can identify. For instance, how do we act when things are going our way but without a clear reason? Being Americans is a great example of a good thing compared to, you know, most places you could be born without any clear reason why. I mean, we don't know, you know, why we were born in America. We only know that it was not our choice or something that we earned. So, you know, the test of character is how do we act with that knowledge? Do we despise others who want to be here, for example? Okay, well, here's another question. How do we act when things are going our way and it seems that we deserve credit? You know, maybe we've worked hard and achieved something. You know, well, that's a little different test. Are we still humble and thankful, especially given the fact that, you know, the truth is millions of others work just as hard, maybe harder. But maybe they didn't succeed. Okay, well, how do we act when things are not going our way? How do we act when things are not going our way and it is clearly our fault? You know, we spend money that we don't have, and we end up deeply in debt, and the spiral just seems impossible to break out of. So do we wallow in self-pity, or do we begin using self-discipline and spending less than we earn instead of more than we earn? Here's another one. How do we act when things aren't going our way, but without a clear reason? You know, we tend to be quick to ask, why me? But we rarely ask, why not me? You know, we really don't need to know. We just need to keep doing what we know is good. Okay, well, here's one more. How do we act when things aren't going our way and it seems like we know exactly who to blame? And this is usually the hardest to accept. But Joseph passed this test. He knew that God was to blame for his situation. God brought this on him. Yet he didn't protest and he didn't become bitter. So again, God's presence is not always felt. And there's something that is often even harder. Even when God lets us in on the reasons, God's answers don't always make things easy. Let's read on. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Yahweh saves. So that was easy, right? He didn't have to give her up. He had no cause to feel all of the emotions that would normally be expected if you found out that your fiance was pregnant and you knew that you were not the father. He had a dream. An angel of God explained it all. What he thought was really bad news was in fact great news. Right. Now listen, this did not fit into any frame of reference for Joseph any more than it would for you or me today. This had not happened to anybody he knew or had ever heard of, and it was not something that he had been taught to believe in. The details were not in the prophecies that they usually look to when they look to the prophecies about the Christ who was to come. So he had already passed one severe test of his character when he planned to protect Mary's honor rather than exposing her to shame. But now he faces another test of his character. He now is told that God brought this on him. And he has some instructions that come with that news. This is a test of his faithfulness. Give him the name Jesus, not Joseph, but Jesus. So acting on faith, he married her, and he did another remarkable thing. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, I believe that what is at play here is a thing called reverence. Joseph's character is being tested at the highest level. Things aren't exactly going his way, and now he knows who to blame. So how will he respond? Well, somehow Joseph decides, apparently it was his decision, that although he has a right to enjoy intimacy with his wife, this is not yet his time to enjoy that gift. Now, when I call this an act of reverence, I'm talking about a sense of propriety that doesn't just ask whether something is right or wrong, but also asks whether this is the time or place. And I think, by the way, here's where Roman Catholicism seems to get so confused with regard to sexuality. The church elevates celibacy as if it were some sort of virtue, and I think it probably starts with this idea, and condemns any form of birth control because sexual pleasure for its own sake must be a sin. Well, at first glance, it might seem that kind of makes sense, that Joseph refrains from sexual relations because it might corrupt Mary's purity. However, I am confident that sexual intimacy with your husband or wife is designed by God to give us pleasure, just like food is designed clearly to give us pleasure. You know, he could have made food, you know, a chore, but no, he makes it something that is pleasurable. And so Mary's purity is not the issue at all. Mary has been taken away from Joseph, or has not been taken away from Joseph. She has only been set apart for a special purpose, for a certain limited amount of time. There will be a time for Joseph and Mary to enjoy another special purpose that God has ordained for every husband and wife. And they have several children together. But Joseph sees that now is just not this time, and he accepts that. And that's where this instant gratification issue comes in. Seeking instant gratification is one of our biggest problems. It's not that we always want bad things, but very often we want good things now. We want whatever we want whenever we want it. And I think it's getting worse and worse as our society, you know, has more technology and more ways to get what you want when you want it. But that's how we get into debt. That's how we end up pregnant before we're married. That's how we make all sorts of decisions that end up hurting us and hurting others. That's how we sometimes pursue career choices maybe that we aren't ready for, or try to skip getting the education or training that we need and get in over our heads in some responsible position. And that's what the marshmallow test revealed. Impatience gets in the way of success in life. And the ability to delay gratification is a powerful ability, but it can be even more than that. Have you ever thought of your impatience as a lack of reverence for God? Have you ever refused to postpone what you believe is your right? You know, the truth is that patience and submission may not be the sum total of reverence, but I really think they are most of it. Okay, that's what Joseph showed. And we will be much happier and even more successful in life if we can learn to embrace these character traits. So here's a question. Could Jesus have been God even if he had been the offspring of a man and woman? Well, of course he could have. Could God have given Joseph the same honor that he gave to Mary? Well, of course he could have. God is God. You know, he can do whatever he wants. In fact, if you remember the lesson last week, you know, it pretty well nails down the reality that Jesus' genetics made it clear that physical attributes and abilities were not what qualified him for the role that he alone could fulfill. His body was brought into the world through incest, prostitution, adultery, and Gentile dogs and women, you know, that were all in his ancestry, things that you didn't want in your ancestry in that day and time. Jesus did not succeed because he had great DNA. That's the point of that ancestry. And God's plan was not witchcraft. In other words, it did not depend on conditions in the physical world to draw on mystical powers in the spiritual world. That's what witchcraft is. God can use anybody to do anything that is good. He's God. He is good. So why did God use Joseph and Mary in this way? Well, we can't know precisely, but we do know that God is not arbitrary. He doesn't just do things randomly. Everything has a purpose. And he does these curious things in part because they will make us curious. They'll intrigue us, and we want to think about it. They will cause us to ask questions and examine things more closely, even if we're not going to get the full answer. So asking why is actually not irreverent. That's what he wants us to do. But he also wants us to accept who we are and accept that it might not be our time to understand more than a very basic answer. So here's a basic answer. When we ask why faith must be put to such extreme tests sometimes, there's one explanation that we might not like, but we can understand it, and that is purification. Purification is the catch-all explanation, or at least the catch-most explanation, for why our faith must be put to such extreme tests. You don't get pure gold without extreme heat, and you don't get anything pure without some extreme process. When God asks us to believe in what we call the Christmas story, which is what Joseph was asked to believe, we are facing the same test that Joseph faced. That's what he was asked to believe. Now, I personally am glad that a lot of emotion, you know, that he faced, you know, is not included in my version of the test, probably not in yours either. You know, it's not as personal for us, but all of this is, you know, clearly outside of our frame of reference, just like it was outside of Joseph's frame of reference. But our faith is tested, and if we stand the test, our faith is purified. So how do we know whether we pass the test? Well, reverence is the best evidence. In other words, let's be humble and submissive even when we don't understand why something is or is not happening in our lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we are